following program is a presentation of the Options Insider Radio Network. For more programs, visit www.theoptionsinsider.com or search for Options Insider Radio in iTunes. It is a dangerous world out there. Volatility is on the rise, and your clients' portfolios are under assault from a growing number of threats. Simple diversification is no longer enough to shield the assets under your protection. Registered investment advisors, financial planners, and asset managers need a new weapon in their war on risk. Welcome to the Advisor's Option, the program designed to arm busy advisors with the information necessary to properly manage risk in this volatile environment. From options education, trading strategies and tips, to industry news and interviews with leading advisors, you'll find it all on the Advisor's Option. The Advisor's Option is brought to you by the Options Industry Council. The OIC was created to educate investors and their financial advisors about the benefits and risks of exchange-traded equity options. For more information on how the OIC can help you implement options in your practice, please visit optionseducation.org. The Advisor's Option is also brought to you by Swan Wealth Advisors. Since 1997, Swan has been the leader in hedged equity and option income strategies with GIPS verified results. Swan provides unique and valuable solutions to the inherent weaknesses of asset allocation, offering defined risk strategies that allow upside participation while also protecting advisors and investors against market risk. For more information about our advisor program for separately managed accounts, the Swan Defined Risk Mutual Fund, or our proprietary option overlay strategies, please contact Randy Swan at swanwealthadvisors.com. Think outside the style box. Think Swan when deciding on risk management solutions to market risk. And now, it's time to arm yourself with the latest weapons in the war on risk. It's time for the Advisor's Option.
All right, and welcome back to the Advisor's Option. This is, of course, the program where we break down the latest developments in options and the world of options trading for you, the busy financial advisor and asset manager. My name is Mark Longo from the OptionsInsider.com, as well as the Options Insider Radio Network. And we have a great show in store for you today. We have a great panel of guests, a great panel of co-hosts joining me today to discuss some late-breaking, interesting developments in the world of options and some interesting tips and tricks and techniques that you can use in your own practice when you're looking to implement options with your clients. So without further ado, let me introduce my co-hosts, starting off with the man from RCM, good old Mike Cavanaugh. Mike, welcome back to the program, sir.
It is great to be back. Thank you. We've got a panel today that stretches the nation with Alan and Eric out in San Francisco, Randy in Colorado. So it's great to be here in Chicago representing the Advisor's Option.
Yes, we are the centerpiece, the hub, if you will, of the Advisor's Option Network for today. But we are indeed spanning the country. And we are also joined, as usual, by my other co-host here. He is Randy Swan, the co-founder of Swan Wealth Advisors, beaming in all the way from the great state of Colorado. Randy, welcome back to the program, sir.
Thank you very much, Mark. It's good to be on the program. Looking forward to a entertaining hour on the Option Insider Network.
Should be entertaining, to say the least, especially when we have these other two fellows on together, which is a rare treat for our listeners. Usually we'll have one or perhaps the other, but today we have the treat of having them both, Batman and Robin, as they like to refer to themselves, of the risk management scene. They are none other than Alan Grigoletto and Eric Cott from the Options Industry Council. Alan and Eric, welcome back to the show, and great to have both of you on the show at the same time.
Yeah, it's great to be back, Mark. Thanks for having us both, and big shout out there to all your listeners.
All right, and with that, we have a lot of great stuff to get to, including a fascinating Tricks of the Trade segment.
And now it's time for practical tips on how to implement options into your practice. It's time to learn the tricks of the trade.
All right, and welcome to the Tricks of the Trade segment. This is the portion of the show where we dive into some very interesting and useful practical tips and tricks and techniques that you can use as an advisor, as an asset manager, when looking to implement options into your practice. And why I say this is really interesting and really timely today is because our friends over at the OIC, yet again, as they are wont to do, have put out a very interesting piece of research, interesting study, an interesting white paper called, precisely enough, Tales from the Front, where you sat down with a number of financial advisors and explored some of the different ways that they use options, how they got into the business, how they implement them with their clients, how they approach it with their clients. Quite frankly, all the practical tips and tricks that you as an advisor would want to know when looking to implement these products in your practice. But rather than have me summarize the study, Eric and Alan, since you guys are so intimately involved with this study and this white paper, why don't you give our listeners an overview of exactly what we're talking about here and what you cover, what the purpose of the Tales from the Front white paper was.
Mark, I'm happy to do it, and it's wonderful to be back on the program along with great colleagues of ours at the OIC, Randy and Michael. And the interesting thing is, Mark, is that we've done a number of studies on the wealth advisor side. You know, we had a qualitative study that we did a number of years ago, followed up by actually the first quantitative study, which was released back in 2011 down at our conference in Savannah when you and I sat down and talked about that. It was quite unique because it was the first time ever that we were able to show to the industry, you know, to all the advisor firms and to the FAs that work there, that their colleagues were actually using options. So what we then talked about doing last year, and we released it probably within the last couple of months, was we took a white paper where we interviewed advisors from all different channels, advisors who've been really established, who have used options proactively with their clients. And what we did was we polled these advisors and said, how did you start doing this? What were some of the obstacles that you found? What were the key strategies that you incorporated? And how would the advisor who's looking to add this into their practice, how would they do that right now? So we were really proud of this because what we were able to do was to not only poll advisors that have grown their practices exponentially because of options, but what the paper also did was it allowed us to, you know, incorporate what has been a message that we've been bringing across the country all the time is that you can't ignore this anymore. That clients are utilizing it, and if you look to tell your client to go down the block, they'll probably open up an account elsewhere.
Well, you know, that's an interesting point, and one we've been hitting on this show for quite a while, and in the options market in general for quite a while, the point that advisors really need additional tools in their toolbox, additional weapons in their arsenal. They really want to be relevant in the modern age and really make themselves stand out from the slew of competitors that are lurking just down the street for your typical high-end client. And that's one of the interesting, fascinating, I should really say, takeaways I got from your paper is the number of different advisors people tend to use. And we're going to get into all that in a second. I have lots of questions, lots of takeaways I want to hit on. But before we even do that, Mike, you are very familiar with this study because you were indeed part of it. You were one of the advisors that they spoke to really get a feel for how people use options. So why don't you give us your perspective on this? What was your experience with the study? What was your experience with the white paper as a whole? And what are some of your key developments and takeaways from this?
Yeah, no, it was great to be even asked to be included. At first, I thought they were going to use me as a control group in the study, as the advisor that uses options improperly.
But I told you, buying all those straddles all day will come to a bad end for you, sir.
Right. Well, long vol. No, I mean, it was interesting. And like I said, it was great to be part of it. The takeaways that I had is everybody kind of got into it as an advisor, what I noticed, for the right reason. They were trying to hedge the risk that existed in the portfolio. And I think in most cases, the demand for the product and the need for the use of options came from the clients asking. the demand came from the client side, which was interesting to me. You know, I grew up in the exchange world where I was a floor trader at the Board of Trade. And, you know, I was the guy that didn't have the pedigree from the wirehouse and didn't go to all the Zig Ziglar-esque sales meetings. And I just kind of started using options on day one. So it was great to get different perspectives on how other advisors had started and got into the use of options. And then just to compare my notes to, you know, my experiences, it was really a fascinating study. And the OIC did such a great job putting this together. You know, they interviewed the 10 people for this study and, you know, asked each one of the guys the 15 or so questions, guys and gals, the 15 or so questions on there. And I think there was a lot of overlap in the end of the day that the advisors that are using options to hedge risk, to take volatility out of a portfolio, I see options right now as kind of being the mutual funds of the 1970s. You know, when the advisors were looking for diversified portfolios, the ease of use. I mean, there's really an opportunity for advisors to work with other advisors right now.
Mike, you hit on a great point, and Mark, I think you know this as well as Randy, that one of the things that OIC is proud of, that our open architecture, because we're a teaching entity, and that's really what we do. We don't sell anything. That by reaching out to more of an audience, and we can have people like Randy and Michael and others that were included in the study. That's how I began using options myself when I started at Merrill Lynch, was really having someone down the block that was able to kind of show me. And one of the key findings that came out of the study was that, you know, advisors were being mentors, or they were finding someone that they could align themselves with, because there's an intimidation by this this product. And I think that's what is the first, you know, obstacle that we always find, Alan and I, is that there tends to be this resistance to want to hear the story, because they look at it as a very risky product when we all on this call know it's not. And, you know, there is, advisors today need to find solutions. And that's one of the values about this paper. We're not telling an advisor how to run their practice. No. What we're doing is we're saying to them, you can't ignore it, so why not maybe see if there's a place within your book of business with your clientele that you can fit that into the asset allocation model, whether hedging or adding alpha.
And we've had some great, great stories from advisors we've met who, quite frankly, have said, look, I don't have the tools. I can't implement this systematic override strategy or protective strategy. You have to understand, you know, I'm in a regional office, not a lot of option-centric tools, but they found other means and avenues with which to provide these kinds of strategies to their clients. You know, use the term style box. You know, they've been able to find a sub-advisor who can implement this for them and just add it to the menu of items that a client would want to have to select for in order to diversify their portfolio.
Now, Randy, you, like myself, have spent a great deal of time looking over this study and pulling out some key takeaways. So I'm curious, you know, as someone who's very active in the overlay side of the fence and really active managing volatility for a variety of different funds and different accounts, what's your takeaway from this study and from what the OIC is putting out here?
Well, what I liked about it was to show the progression of trades, the type of strategies people want, going from a covered call, protective put, to advancing to more exotic or more complicated trades such as calendars and butterflies and stuff like that. That's really what we've seen in our business is the actual demand for those extra elements of what we do. Obviously, I think we've talked in the past about our overlay program, and now we're getting people coming to us and just saying, hey, I just want you to do your income trades separate from everything else you're doing. I would be happy with just those components of your strategy. So the demand is there. It's growing. It's as we've talked about in the past, as more and more people get comfortable with options, they're going to see the true benefits are out there.
I suppose that's an important takeaway for all of us, really, is that in years past, we really couldn't say that. We couldn't go out there and say, wow, this demand is percolating up from the client side. It really was driven from the top down from the handful of advisors who were familiar with these products and were not forcing them, but finding ways to insert them into their clients' portfolios on a strategic basis. And now this study and this paper really seems to be reinforcing the fact that demand is percolating up from the clients, which is, I think, an encouraging thing for everyone, including all of our listeners out there who are thinking about ways they could use these products. And now, for those listeners out there who may or may not be very familiar with options, and I'm assuming if you're listening to this show, you probably have a passing familiarity, but that's about it. I thought you guys took an interesting approach with this paper, Eric and Alan, in that you address that right off the bat by finding a way for people to really, these advisors, to really learn more and embrace these products more through the mentorship option, really lining up these advisors as mentors who other advisors can go out to and contact. And, you know, without any fear of losing customers or without any fear of losing revenue or losing AUM, but really go out and reach out to and say, hey, I see you're doing this. How can I implement this into my practice? How can I take some of the practices you're learning from your clients and implement them myself? Was that a conscious effort on your part to really make this a more advisor-friendly approach and really give them some key tools and key takeaways that they could use on their own end?
Mark, absolutely. I think, as you know, when I came on board to sort of develop this outreach with the exchanges, my thought was is that if you're option-centric and, you know, you're looking to utilize the resources of OIC, we have a number of people, you know, around the country, and you should be able to idea share. You know, our whole mantra is that, you know, we're one big family, and, you know, and Randy and you know, and Michael speak, you know, to that in a great way, because, you know, we've profiled them on our website. They have been participants in our wealth advisor programs. You know, the whole idea is that there's enough client assets to go around for everybody. And, you know, we're fortunate enough, you know, to have a lot of, you know, intelligent people, you know, on the wealth advisor side that are using options in a very practical fashion and are finding, you know, that it is a big success, you know, to grow this practice. And so, you know, our feeling is that, you know, having these type of liaisons around the country, you know, whether it's Swan or RCM or it's, you know, Chatham or Lyons or, you know, or Quad or even advisors that we know who are at Morgan Keegan or Credit Suisse or Morgan Stanley UBS, you know, where we are is, you know, we're there to kind of, you know, put the advisor to the right place, only from the aspect of saying, look, if you have the tools to be able to do this on your own, wonderful. If you don't, then there are other resources to seek out that can help you and your clients find that right strategy to fit into whatever, you know, outcome you're looking for. You know, however you and your client are looking to design that portfolio, then there are places that you can look at. So most certainly, in a long-winded answer, Mark, yes. I mean, you know, we have a very, you know, conscious effort to make that, you know, all of the people that know OIC and that we have the good fortune of working with, that they can call each other and they can idea share. And that's, you know, that's sort of the beauty of being this agnostic outreach.
Eric, that's why we like having you on the show. It gives me a chance to take a breath and to relax.
And I'll
a little
chime
bit
in there too. This is Mike. What, you know, Eric probably doesn't do the justice because of his humble nature. I mean, what the OIC truly does with a study like this is it shows the advisors out there that, hey, there are other advisors that aren't like the Madoffs and the Corzines. I mean, the people that are still in the industry are trying to, you know, build the brand for the industry back again, and to have the OIC come up with a document like this to give the advisors and the clients of those advisors a trust symbol to say, hey, there are good people in this industry that work hard and want to help with your personal situation. And the best thing that you can do is not just throw options out entirely. Take a look at it. And here's 10 people. And here's Randy Swan on the advisor option. And here's these guys that have dedicated their life to learning the nuances of how to use these products to help their clients reach their goals. And the OIC stepping up and writing a paper like this and publishing some people, and I've known Alan and Eric long enough to know that they're not going to put the OIC's tag on it without doing the due diligence to say, hey, these are people that are option friendly, but among all things, they're humans first and they want to help. They want to give the industry a good name. They want to lift up the entire industry as a whole, and working with other advisors and giving them free unsolicited advice when they call them. You know, I speak for myself, but I'm sure Randy would agree. If advisors called me, I would be tickled if they called me to say, hey, you know what? I saw your name or I heard you mentioned here. I just want to kind of get a better understanding. I'd be happy to share advice with that person.
Absolutely. I get those kind of questions all the time. And like you said, we're out here trying to build up options as a strategic and tactical investment for, we think, a market that's going to be a lot bigger in the future.
You know, Mark, one of the things that Randy and Michael, you know, do so well is that they do a little speaking around the country. And they're also, again, they've been in the trenches. So, you know, as we all have, and, you know, one of the things that I found, again, fascinating about the story that came out of the prior quant study that we did was that the majority of advisors, if you ask them, and Mark, you know this very well, if you ask them if they use options, they do, but they do it for their own accounts because they don't want to make the mistake. So, you know, again, fortunate on this call to have, you know, two individuals that provide the fiduciary services of providing option strategies to others. And I think, again, if you want to be a self-starter and run your own practice and have all the oversight, that's great. The tools are out there. But if you want to seek out somebody else for you to be the quarterback of the relationship, but sub-advise out to someone that can manage multiple positions for multiple accounts, well, then there are a lot of great individuals out there to do it. And so, you know, that's where I think the marketplace is going right now. But, you know, again, we still have a lot of work ahead of us. So I think this is just sort of scratching the surface, Mark, with a study like this.
One of the things that really surprised me from the study, an interesting takeaway, and you kind of just hit on it right now, Eric, was the mobility of these clients and the fact that they don't just have one advisor relationship where they come to one person and that's their be-all, end-all for their financial management. They actually have a team. I think your study quoted 70% of the clients that you saw in your study and from the different financial advisors you talked to, 70% of them had more than one financial advisor, which was surprising to me. I never really considered the multi-advisor angle. Is that as much of a surprise to you guys, or was that pretty much par for the course for what you thought?
Well, having been in practice for 17 years and being on the management side where I had to hire other advisors, we always felt that we had all of our clients' assets and that we were the one and only financial specialist that couple or individual who was using. That's not the case. And quite, you know, what's interesting, Mark, is that advisors aren't aware that the growth of option activity from the retail side, you know, has come a lot from these affluent individuals having online accounts. And so maybe their safe money is with their, you know, firm in their town. But on the side, they've got these accounts where they're trading options and they're making money or utilizing other strategies to protect maybe some of the other parts of their portfolio, and they're not really disclosing that to the advisor. So I think we brought that to the table.
That's absolutely correct. I mean, even in my time as an advisor, you know, we came into the high net wealth space and, you know, we found out, quite frankly, that many times we were one of maybe 10 advisors that were servicing a particular client's account, and that we were, you know, targeted with being a specialist in a particular area. And for us, it was technology and an override strategy. Whereas they chose to do their fixed income or their large cap holding with yet another advisor. So it's not highly unusual. You know, if you think from the client's perspective, he believes that he's diversifying his risk by choosing different managers to manage different segments of his investment portfolio. Oftentimes, you know, you hear the talk that you know, you're being benchmarked in your particular niche against a static portfolio. And you know, in reality, what you learn from the client is it's always about the absolute return. And so, you know, there's always this bake-off of how well you did in your space versus the other managers, even though the risk metrics are quite different.
Now, I think one of the other things that really surprised me about this study and some of the white paper findings was that, you know, I think a lot of us have a perception of how many advisors come to this space. Typically, it is through the income generation side. They discover the magic of writing calls to generate income, and it kind of unspools from there. So I think, like a lot of people, I assumed when you ask these advisors how they use options, the bulk of them would fall on the income generation side, with a few getting into the more advanced and elaborate risk mitigation side. But actually, that was not the finding you guys had at all. Maybe part of this was just you selected a great group of advisors to talk to, but I was really surprised to see that risk management was far and away the number one use case for options, and then income generation and other things came in as a secondary concern. Did that surprise you as well?
Well, it's interesting, Mark. You know, when we conducted the study last year, where the markets were at that time, but given the makeup of advisors from RIA channels, from wirehouses, from independents, et cetera, I think one of the criteria was that we had advisors that had been very established, who had larger books of business. So they weren't necessarily in that alpha stage. A number of them, based on how they run their portfolios for their clients, are in that risk mitigation, risk management sort of style. But then a handful of the advisors that also were part of the study work with highly affluent corporate executives who have concentrated positions. So they have utilized collar strategies in the last couple of years. That has become much more prevalent, we've seen. So, and you know, and as Randy had mentioned, you know, look, there are some advisors that are leaning toward the more esoteric strategies of butterflies, condors, et cetera. But, you know, we're finding that, you know, interestingly, even some of the advisors in the study had said, I was at a former firm that didn't allow me to do anything other than covered calls. And it's really the reason that I left. Or now I'm at a firm that has given me a menu of other different, you know, opportunities. Not only do I get to utilize options, but I have other asset managers within our platform that are offering strategies that, you know, really kind of fit for me. And that's great.
Yeah. And, you know, something Eric said earlier that I thought was very insightful, the advisors having the fear of getting to know options and use options. It's that fear that's held them back. I think that fear has shifted from using options. I think the advisors are educating themselves on options. I think the typical wealth advisor, wealth manager, financial advisor relationship is defined by proximity to the client. You know, if you're in Dubuque, Iowa, you're not going to go to San Francisco unless you got loads of dough to get an advisor. You're going to go down to the street and you're going to go into the guy's office that you went to seventh grade with, that, you know, you used to go four wheeling with when you're in elementary school, because you trust him. And then that guy says to the advisor, hey, I love what you're doing, but the one stock you have in my portfolio is giving me concern. Let's call it Apple. And I think, you know, when Apple's trading at 600, what if it goes down? I want to be able to, I don't know, buy puts. And then the advisor's faced with the fear that if he reaches out to, you know, whether it's Randy, myself, or any of the other people mentioned in the white paper, now my fear has shifted to, if I go to this guy with a client, I'm afraid that that this guy's going to take my client. Where the actual counter to that is, we're not looking to take clients as advisors. We're trying to help the other advisors keep their clients happy. And if we're able to come up with the solution that makes us a little money, helps them keep their clients happy, I think the point of the paper is, in my opinion, you know, hey, there are guys out there like that. These are guys that have used options, guys and gals that use options, and they want to help. We're not going to win business from the guy in Dubuque, Iowa, or Poughkeepsie, or Tulsa, or wherever, because the personal relationship is built with the advisor. You can't put individual hedging strategies into a distribution network that is mutual funds or ETFs. There has to be a personal relationship. And Randy, you know, he's all over the place. I've seen him in New Orleans. I've seen him in Chicago. He's out there representing and advocating for the proper use of options to help advisors, as are we, as are the other people mentioned. So it's the fear of educating yourself and using options has kind of shifted to, well, now that the client has identified, I have a need, it's the advisor reaching out to that person that can help them. I think that fear, the paper helps take out, hey, here's some guys you could talk to that aren't going to hurt you.
You know, one of the things too, Mike, and I'm glad you said that about you and Randy being out there, because I've had the good fortune of being at events with both of you, that when I ran my practice, you look at successful advisors, and that's who you want to emulate. And when you look at how advisors have grown their practices by utilizing option solutions, the light bulb goes off, I think, for a lot of people, and they say, look, you know what? I think I could do this. And once I get through the nomenclature, you guys like that word, I can sort of get my hands around it, and there is a need. And as we're seeing more and more individuals who are, you know, finding that in a static environment with low interest rates, you know, you just, as Michael always says, you just can't keep picking the blue plate special mutual fund of the day. Advisors will get tired of that. And, it's probably the reason why, for Randy and for Mike, they're seeing their practices grow.
Yes, I'd like to just add something. We always feel like in our role in the whole process of the money management side is we're money managers. So we're typically sub-advising for other advisors. We would never want to replace that. And in fact, we get a portion of the portfolio or a portion of the piece of the pie and provide our value add for what we do. But I just wanted to second that there's no way we could do or even compete with the actual advisor on the end that has the relationship, because we don't even meet those guys.
And that's an important thing to mention, because for whatever reason, so many advisors are still hung up on that fact that if they reach out for help in any capacity, that will end up having their clients taken from them or stolen by another advisor. There's a lot of that, fiefdom, that parochial nature in the advisor space. And so this is a good way to kind of get beyond that. Speaking of getting beyond that, there are two traditional hurdles we see with advisors getting into options. First is how they actually learn about the product and kind of what the inception point is for them to actually get started using options. So I want to hit on that with you guys. And also, once they start using them, one of the key pushbacks we hear from many advisors is the time issue. How do I manage all this? How do I incorporate this? I have hundreds of clients. I can't roll calls across all their accounts. It takes too much time. Those are two of the main takeaways I know you guys hit on in the paper. So Eric and Alan, why don't you give our listeners a little bit of overview of A, what you heard from the advisors in terms of their catalyst, what really got them involved in options, and then B, how do they solve that perennial issue of the time management problem when using options?
Well, it's interesting. One of the subtitles we had in the study was the aha moment, and how it became, maybe part of the investment discipline. And I've told, my story, having been on the institutional side, and when I came over to Merrill Lynch, I had a lot of retired bankers whose banks were publicly traded. And I remember being assigned to a senior advisor who was in his office with his shades closed all the time. You were always fearful to even walk by there because he would probably yell at you as a rookie that you were wasting his time. And of course, I was assigned to him. He was my mentor. And I remember going in there and putting down my statements, and he looked across the table and he said to me, "You're an idiot." And that stuck with me, because why was I an idiot? Because I was sitting with bank stocks that I could be writing covered calls against. And he said, "Here's a perfect opportunity for you to do something that no one else in this office is doing. And you can call your executives, and we can design a program of writing out of the money calls and just adding a little bit of income. And it shows you as being proactive, and no one else is doing that." That's one of the things, Mark, that we heard from a lot of these senior and very successful advisors in our study, was that they could differentiate themselves from their competition. And we're seeing that more and more, that advisors who are using this and incorporating it on across multiple accounts are finding it that it's successful. And because look, we all know this is a referral business. When you're growing your practice, it's a lot easier, because the last time I looked, there's only 24 hours in a day. So there's a lot of things to manage as a wealth advisor. So if you can have successful clients out there promoting a strategy that you're using, and it's successful, and you're happy, they're going to mention that to other people. So, I think that that came across in the study in terms of, how they had this, light bulb go off, and then, making time for it. Absolutely, Mark. I think that's a big struggle with a lot of wealth advisors is, how do I do this? Because again, across multiple accounts, I'm not certain that I could do this by myself because I might make a mistake. It has to be sort of the right business model. If I'm in a discretionary account, how do I can't be tied to the screen all the time. And, again, it isn't easy. Alan and I say this all the time. you know, it's like anything else. You know, if you're on a weight management program, like Michael and I are all the time, because we love to eat. But you know what, Mike and I know we have to get out there and exercise. And it takes a little bit of effort, but there are positive results at the end. And it's the same thing. I mean, that's kind of how OIC fits in for a lot of these advisors. You know, if you don't sleep like I do, we're 24/7. You can go on the website. You can become comfortable enough where maybe it's just one strategy. Again, it's not going into the gym and jumping on a treadmill to then go on the elliptical and all these different, you know, types of exercises. Like with options, stick to one, get comfortable, then you can branch out. And so I think that, and then it's selling that idea to your client, because I get it, and Alan and I also hear this quite often. You have to bring it to a level where the client gets comfortable, because when you're sitting down with clients, they immediately have this resistance, because in their mind, you know, options are
too exotic, and they don't understand them, and that's part of the problem. The beauty is that, you know, even in the last couple of years, we've seen tremendous new technologies come out that are great learning tools. And Eric and I were out here in Los Gatos meeting with a group and demonstrating some of the tools that we're seeing out there that can be used to help explain these strategies to their clients. And I think we've got some very positive feedback that says, you know what, that's what we need. We need simplicity. We need diagrams. We need stuff that we can show a client in the office on what the risk and reward metrics are, what the insurance analogy is, and what the income generating potential of this strategy is. And I think that's where this business is going to be helped greatly, is by the new technologies, the stuff that's on iPad and cellular phone. And I think the growth potential here is just enormous, just from that factor alone, the ability to get this information directly to the clients in a succinct manner and have them fully understand it.
Now, I've hit on many of the surprises that I found when reading this white paper, this study. I kind of want to go around the room now, or the virtual room, if you will, because we are all over the country, and see what your key surprises, your key takeaways from this study were. Randy, perhaps we'll start with you. What, if anything, really caught your eye and perhaps surprised you or shocked you even from this paper, this study?
I don't really have anything that was massively surprising to me. I was actually pretty much in line with everything that was said. I think the only thing that I would bring up that we talked about a little earlier is the technology or what it takes to really for these advisors to be able to offer a program. To me, I think the comment was made earlier about taking one item and taking one strategy and building on that until you build up to a program. We've had to develop a lot of our internal software just to be able to handle with some of those issues. So I know it's a real problem out there. So that's something that, as time goes on, I think there'll be more solutions out there.
Let me ask you this, because I thought one of the interesting and funny little takeaways from the study was that many of the advisors still say that whenever possible, they try to avoid the O word, the options word, with their clients, just because it comes with so much baggage and is such a loaded term to so many clients. Do you find that still the case, Randy? Or maybe perhaps because you're in such a specialized aspect, by the time they get to you, they've already accepted the options gospel, if you will.
Well, I think it goes back to maybe 5 or 6 years ago, before the 2008, 2009, you were having that conversation a lot more, where you're trying to convince people that this isn't going to blow up and it's not going to be some massive headache for the advisors. But as time has gone on, I think people realize that, you know, we always tell people, you insure every aspect of your life, why not your portfolio? So I think now we're getting more to the end where people, at least the people we're talking to, accept it and want to move forward with it. And so I think a lot of that pre-sale or pre-discussions already been had. But yes, we still do deal with it.
And now, Mike, you probably have fewer surprises than the rest of us here, because you were actually part of this study. So I don't think most of it should come as a shock to you. But what, if anything, perhaps caused you to really raise an eyebrow from this study, or perhaps was just an interesting takeaway that you wanted to highlight for our listeners?
Here's what I'll highlight on it. There's a bunch of different questions and, you know, the answers from the advisors. And one of the questions is, you know, what types of clients are using options? And then one of the other questions that Eric hit on and Alan was the aha moment. And when you look at both of the answers, the answer to what type of clients are using options, and it was market savvy and high net worth, and then what caused the advisor to start using options wasn't what I correlate to the high net worth type investor. It was the aha moment seemed to come after a crash in the market. And like connecting those two dots, an advisor can really dig in, especially where the market is right now. You know, we're at near all-time highs on the SPX and, you know, making new highs almost every day in the Dow. I think high net worth and market savvy investors are looking for a more proactive approach from their advisor. And an option contract gives you one of the best proactive approaches. So getting into options because of a crash, I guess is typical. That didn't surprise me. But the fact that advisors can use options as a proactive tool to give their clients a more secured, proactive approach to the market, I think is what really connected the dots for me. You know, I want to use options because my clients are coming to me saying, hey, you know, we're up 20% in the portfolio over the last year and a half. What can we do now to kind of lock in these gains without causing a tax event? You can really use options proactively instead of a reactionary knee-jerk to a bad moment. It's something that, you know, Eric points out when he's traveling on the road. You know, everybody buys car insurance, house insurance, life insurance. Why aren't you insuring what has come to be after the housing market crash? One of your most valuable assets is your investment, your retirement portfolio. Why aren't we proactively using the options to insure our portfolios? And that was kind of my connect the dot moment in between the two questions of what clients are using options and what caused you to use them. I think advisors really have an opportunity to now use options proactively as almost a portfolio insurance. That's my two cents.
And Eric and Alan, same question to you. Any key surprises that really caught your eye when compiling this white paper? And also, any last thoughts you'd like to leave, any key takeaways you'd like to leave our listeners with as we're wrapping up the study here?
I was surprised that no one in the study mentioned how good-looking Alan and I are. I was a little surprised by that. But
perhaps they didn't see you in your Batman and Robin costumes. That would have, yeah, I think, sealed the deal for you.
You know, Randy and Mike know me well enough that I'm the last person to be modest. But no, I'm extremely, extremely proud of the study. With all the help from the OIC that, you know, we find from the exchanges that we work with, as well as, you know, advisors across the country. Again, I can't reiterate enough, Mark, you hear me say this, that we're just scratching the surface. You know, from the largest firm in the country to the one-person RIA out in Edina, Minnesota, or wherever it might be, Elgin, Illinois, you know, there is a appetite and a need for solutions for clients right now. We don't know if we're going to be in an inevitable zero interest rate environment, and we might see 400 to 500 point swings again, given all the turmoil over in Europe and other places around the world. So we have a mission, and that is, you know, to, again, bring the education, but the solutions in a way that advisors can understand. And that's one of the benefits of the study is that the advisors who we interviewed here said, don't be intimidated by it and start to find out where it fits in. And that if it becomes overwhelming and you really can't manage it on your own, then look to others to incorporate into that, you know, asset allocation model that you might have, and be able to, you know, specialize in what you're good at, but find others that are just as equally, you know, knowledgeable, but, you know, can kind of, you know, help you along the way. And so, you know, this is going to be probably a study that we, you know, conduct again and maybe expand it out a little bit, and we'll have others as well. So, and what I would leave our audience with is that we had a very successful event that Randy and Michael were a part of, as well as you, Mark, down in New Orleans last year. And we're looking to follow up with a second Wealth Advisor Summit, hopefully sometime in the summer. There's more information to follow on that, so I'll leave that with your viewers.
And just my closing thought on the Tales from the Front paper, not surprisingly, there wasn't a lot in there that I think we didn't really know. But I think one thing that was substantiated was that so many of these advisors came by their expertise through their own usage of the product. And so it was an eat-your-own-cooking approach to it. And as they learned the benefits and risks of options themselves, they in turn passed that knowledge on to their client. And I think that that was, the, to me, the underscoring of the entire paper.
Well, we kind of hit on all of the major elements of this paper. If you'd like to read it for yourself, listeners, you can surf on over to optionseducation.org. That's, of course, the OIC website. And you'll see in the top right there a tab, Options for Advisors. Just click on that. You'll see white papers and research there in the drop-down menu. Click on that, and you'll have access to this white paper and many others lurking there. If you prefer to have someone else do the reading and heavy lifting for you, then you can also surf on over to theoptionsinsider.com. We have an epic 5-part write-up on this paper, complete with all of the takeaways and key points from the Tales from the Front study. Just surf on over to theoptionsinsider.com. Click on the industry tab. You should be able to find it there. Just type in OIC or OIC white paper into the search bar. You can find that there as well. So a lot of great ways for you to get the full paper and the full impact of the study for yourself. But now we're going to keep on rolling with the show into our final segment, our listener mail segment.
Listener mail. Listeners write in.
Listeners write in.
All right, and welcome to the Listener Mail, and I'm glad we can get this segment onto the show because we get a lot of great feedback on this program, and people want to know more about what we're doing and what we're talking about, so I'm glad to give you, the listener, a voice on the show. And our first question comes in from Jim. I believe that's pronounced Tomy from Mobile, Alabama, Scenic Mobile, and he says, thank you very much for the Advisors Option program. It truly is one of a kind. Well, you're welcome there, Jim. He goes on to say, my question goes to the heart of your program. How do I find an advisor who uses options? I'm not near Chicago or Colorado, so Mike and Randy aren't viable choices for me. Are there any national databases or listings of advisors who use options? If not, is this something that the OIC plans to offer down the road? Thanks again, and please keep putting out episodes of this fine program. And Eric and Alan, since you guys are addressed directly in there, perhaps I'll start with you. I'm sure this is the question you guys receive quite a bit. What do you tell people who come to you looking for these types of databases for finding advisors who use options?
That's a great question. We're still working on that with our legal department to be able to have a resource on our website that would list SMA managers, ETF managers, UIT managers, 40 Act funds that are providing option-centric disciplines. What I would say for this caller is to utilize our investor services line, 888-OPTIONS. The problem is we can't provide advice, as you know, but we are able to, through our colleagues at our investor services number, we are able to have some dialogue with advisors and potentially steer them in the right direction. Since I don't know where this advisor, who he clears through, what firm he might be affiliated with, he can also send me an email, and I might have some places that I can direct him to as well.
Great. Thank you for that, Eric. And Mike or Randy, you guys have anything you want to add for Mr. Tomy here from Mobile, Alabama? I mean, he can't come to your offices per se, but he might be able to teleconference with you every now and then and get some insight that way.
Well, I could, if he sent me an email, I could probably put him in touch with some of our relationships that have offices all around the country. So I don't think that's a really big deal, whether he can reach out to me or not. So,
Do you guys hear this a lot? People hearing about you, let's say on a show like this, or perhaps through some other way, or doing some sort of meta search, let's say on Google for advisors who use options, and they come to you through some convoluted way, but they find that they still prefer to have someone who's down the street or down the block that they can meet with on a regular basis. Do you guys still encounter that problem quite a bit?
I don't. I think it's about 50-50. 50% of the people want to work with someone locally. The other 50% would just as soon work with the actual manager. But that's, either way with us is fine.
Yeah, it's about the same. You know, a lot of it depends on the advisor. You know, I don't know if this is the same Jim Tomy that was the first baseman for the White Sox, but
I thought that name sounded a little bit familiar to Chicagoans.
Yeah, even better. But, you know, it's all a matter of, you know, what what the advisor thinks is going to be best for his clients. You know, like Randy said, you know, he's got a network that reaches out to Alabama. That might be a better solution. It really comes down to, you know, what the advisor wants and what he's most comfortable with, you know, for his client.
All right. And last up here, we have a quick Twitter question because we're running low on time. This goes from JB94. I love the Twitter handles. And he actually has a quick question for Randy. He wants to know, how do I find out which funds use his overlays? So what do you have here for Mr. JB94, Randy? Should this come to your website? Should they contact you directly? How can someone find out who's out there using your strategies and your overlays?
Well, he can definitely contact me through the website or give me a direct call. That's fine. When he used the word funds, I was thinking maybe mutual fund. But our overlay program that we have in existence right now is primarily dealing with the SMA program. And, of course, they would bring their own underlying or another advisor or money manager's underlying to the program. And then we overlay our hedging and our income strategies on top of that. So.
No, that's true. If he wants your direct strategy or style, you do have your own fund now. He can get it directly from you.
That's correct. Now, our fund is primarily the S&P 500, so we use the select sector spiders as our underlying and rebalance in those occasionally. But like I said, when I usually think of overlay, I'm thinking someone else has an idea of what they want to use as their underlying, whether it's a certain stock or group of stocks, or it's a portfolio that they've been holding on for a long time, and they just like the concept of downside protection with option income.
Well, thank you for that, Randy, and thank you to everyone who wrote in here on the Advisors Option Program. We, of course, love hearing from all of you. Wish we had more time to feature you. Perhaps in the next show, we'll have a longer listener mail segment to get to all of your extensive questions. But for now, that's about all the time we have for this episode. Before we go, though, I do like to check in with my co-hosts, my partners in crime, to see what they have cooking in their respective necks of the woods that may interest you, the busy financial advisor. And let's start off with you, Alan and Eric. You guys always have something on the horizon. What is coming up in the land of OIC that may interest our listeners?
Alan and I are going to be recording an album next week. We're doing an option-centric. We've got
you're terrifying our people right now. You know that.
Yeah, two of our backup singers, Randy and Michael, will be included on that album. It's a little bit of rock and roll with a little bit of country. Now, I'll let Alan fill in where we're.
Well, next up for me, Mark, is the Investor Education Day, which will take place in Schaumburg in May 5th. So that'll be my very next presentation. We had a very, very successful launch of our Vance seminar on the Greeks, both in Chicago and San Francisco. The Chicago one was impacted by the 10 inches of snow we got, but still got a very good turnout. And the accolades for that advanced strategy were very, very high, some of the highest remarks we've ever gotten for a presentation. So we'll look to repeat the Greek sometime in the fall. But for now, for me, it'd be May 5th in the Chicagoland area.
And the last thing we'll say is also we'll see you, Mark, in Henderson, Nevada for the celebration of the OIC conference.
Yes, we'll be doing our annual radio blowout there at the Options Industry Conference. So listeners, you can look forward to many, many great hours of programming with a slew of great guests from the world of options coming to your podcast player of choice in the next month. So we're lining up all that as we speak. And Alan, just a quick note, I can anecdotally correlate what you're hearing on the Greek show, particularly the one out in California. We got a lot of feedback to our own site that was a great event. So certainly a lot of love for the Greek seminar. I encourage you listeners, if you haven't done so already, to seek out an OIC seminar near you and learn from some of the best in the business. And speaking of the best in the business, we don't have them, but we do have Mike Cavanaugh. And he has a lot of great things cooking over there at RCM as well. Mr. Mike, what is coming up in the land of RCM that may interest our listeners?
Yeah. And what business is this? No, I'm just kidding. We officially merged Know Your Options into RCM in January, and we've now started what we call our Thursday Night Trading Webinars Series, or TNT, that's headed by Mike Tussard, Director of Education with the Options, and that's open to anyone, whether you're an individual investor or an advisor. You're more than welcome to check it out. We're rolling out our new website here by the end of the month, and along with the webinar series, we've started a every other Friday seminar series in person, where we cover what you know, what topics and issues are hot out there right now in the investor world. And the one that we're finding, and I think it was Eric or Alan, maybe Randy, hit on earlier, is the lack of yield with interest rates where we are, and how to use options to kind of help you try to go find some yield in your portfolio. So every other Friday at the RCM office in Chicago, we keep the attendance down to about 15 people. So if you're interested, you can reach out.
There you go, listeners. You can do it local at the offices, or you can come into the Thursday night trading with Mike Tusaw and the gang and learn about some great options topics. And last but certainly not least, we have Randy Swan from Swan Wealth Advisors. Randy, last time you were on the show, you were discussing the launch of your new mutual fund. Why don't you give our listeners a little bit of an update on that, as well as anything else going on at Swan that may interest our listening audience?
Well, we launched the mutual fund last August, and things have been going really well. We're excited about the current market environment that's going on, and always being mindful of the next potential correction. The only thing I would throw out is that we just finished publishing our most recent version of The Good, Bad, and the Ugly, that's up on our website that any of the listeners can go read. It's got a lot of good discussion and commentary on different strategies and things that we're doing internally.
Really quickly before we go, because we are recording this at a period where we're pushing all-time highs in the markets on a regular basis, and I'm just curious, Randy, as someone who does a lot of overlays and risk management, have you seen an influx from people coming to you saying, wow, this is the top, I really want to start hedging my downside? Has that given you a little bit of a boost to your business?
Absolutely. We've brought in substantial assets in the first quarter of this year. And I think people, despite the fact the market is at all-time highs, I think most of the people coming to us are a little skeptical that this is going to hold, or this isn't just kind of a temporary event. So it's been really good for business, definitely.
Yes.
And with the lower volatility. So I always say it's a good time to hedge. It's probably never a bad time to hedge.
Yeah, all-time highs, low vol, makes for not a bad environment for a tail risk management fund. So listeners, of course, we want to thank all of you for joining us here on the Advisors Option Program. We know a lot of you are writing in. We want more episodes. We're trying to get them to you. As you can see, we are scattered throughout the country, so coordinating everyone's schedules to get more episodes of this show out is like herding cats sometimes, but we're going to endeavor to produce more episodes of the Advisors Option for you, because you guys do love it. And I, of course, do want to mention to you as well, we are hosting at the Options Insider our first ever premium live event. It's going to be May 15th at the Chicago Board Options Exchange. It's going to be focused on unusual activity. It is our unusual activity forum. And the reason I bring it up here is because we've seen a surprising influx of advisors registering for that event. So if you're going to be in or around Chicago on May 15th, then you should surf on over to theoptionsinsider.com/events and register for our unusual activity forum. It's going to be great. We're bringing together a host of unusual activity experts. We're going to give you a tour of the trading floor down the CBOE and throw in a bunch of other great extras for signing up for the show. So check it out. It's our first of many big live events to come. So May 15th at the CBOE in Chicago. Check it out if you're interested in unusual activity or just options trading in general. I think you'll find something there that you'll like. And of course, on behalf of all of us here on the Advisors Option panel, I want to thank all of you out there in the listening audience for downloading and streaming and subscribing and making this show such a success. And we'll see you next time right here on the Advisors Option.
The Advisors Option is brought to you by the Options Industry Council. The OIC was created to educate investors and their financial advisors about the benefits and risks of exchange-traded equity options. For more information on how the OIC can help you implement options in your practice, please visit optionseducation.org. The Advisors Option is also brought to you by Swan Wealth Advisors. Since 1997, Swan has been the leader in hedged equity and option income strategies with GIPS verified results. Swan provides unique and valuable solutions to the inherent weaknesses of asset allocation, offering defined risk strategies that allow upside participation while also protecting advisors and investors against market risk. For more information about our advisor program for separately managed accounts, the Swan Defined Risk Mutual Fund, or our proprietary option overlay strategies, please contact Randy Swan at swanwealthadvisors.com. Think outside the style box. Think Swan when deciding on risk management solutions to market risk. Was a presentation of the Options Insider Radio Network. For more programs, visit www.theoptionsinsider.com/radio or search for Options Insider Radio in iTunes.